every Thursday from 3 to 4 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing. And I'm so happy today to welcome, I've got two very interesting authors, and I just discovered that they have something in common. So it's going to be lots of fun, and I'm so happy to welcome to Joy on Paper, Diane Bergner. And the name of her book is Royal Coconut Beach Lunch Club. Hi, Diane. Oh, I got it vice versa. Did I do it again? Hello. Are you there?
Wrong author.
Susanna Marin, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. You had the wrong author. I know Diane.
Yes. And I have you vice versa. You're talking now, and then I've discovered that Susanna... that Diane is thanking you in her book for writing her
book. I said I know her. Yeah, I know her.
Yes.
She's a friend. Isn't that nice?
Isn't that funny that I would have both of you on the same day?
Oh, that is a small world. Yeah.
It really is. It's so funny because I it was just... you know, not planned at all. And then, you know, I read, of course, I read her book, and it's fascinating. And then, of course, I've had your book for a much longer time. As a matter of fact, I had, you were on before, and we talked about your other book. And so it was, so much fun that you came back. Last time you were here to talk about your nonfiction book, and today we're talking about Maribel's Shadow. Which is
exactly, that's my new book.
Your new book, which
just out.
It's really exciting that your work on the one side, you do nonfiction books, studying women, studying doing really in-depth research on women's issues, and then. You've now turned this also into a wonderful opportunity for you to write fiction.
Yes, this is my fourth novel, and definitely my fiction reflects my research on how women really feel in real time as mothers, wives, sisters, friends, foes, rivals, lovers. And so, I'm really looking at the truth about how women feel.
And you certainly grasp onto that because, as Susanna Shapiro Barash, which is your name, of course, for your nonfiction, your research is well known in the sort of industry of women's world. And we were last time you were here, we were talking about affairs and. so it was interesting that when I got this book, of course, there are affairs in this book.
there is always an affair because based on my research, interviewing a diverse group of women across the country, all different ages, social strata, religion, level of education, race, there are more affairs than anyone really believes because women really long for whatever it is they long for. And if you're not happy in a marriage or you're, unhappy with your granddaughter or your daughter or your husband or a friend or a colleague, I take all that I've listened to and I put it into the novel. So this novel, Maribel's Shadow, Just Out, is truly a dicey story, a mystery. It's about three adult daughters and their mother, who is someone who's very socially ambitious, and it's all about their family secrets. And no spoiler here, but within the first 15 pages, Maribel's husband dies suddenly, And after he dies, everyone secrets their truth, their behavior, all of it is revealed. So it's really a story about the price we pay once we're kind of outed.
And as I said, your previous book, when you were on, A Passion for More, I had a lot of response from my listeners because you had a deep sort of dive into statistics about how women felt about affairs. And so in this book, now we have affairs, and it's one of these reads that I think women will really enjoy because, as you said, we have the story of Maribel. And do you want to explain a little bit more about her story?
So Maribel is the eldest of the three Barrow sisters, and they live in Palm Beach. And I purposely chose Palm Beach. It's the third of my Palm Beach novels, because Palm Beach is such a beautiful, rarefied place. And we say to ourselves, how can anything go wrong in a place of privilege? Isn't that, in a capitalistic society, all that we really yearn for? But in fact, once Samuel dies, Maribel's husband, the truth seeps out, and nothing is ever what it seems. And so Maribel and her two younger sisters are very ambitious, and so is their mother, as I mentioned. And each of them has, each is looking for an escape route from the life that they have, even though we would look from the outside and say, wow, beauty, privilege, homes, all of this, glittering prizes, handsome husbands, little children. So everyone has a motive. And then we ask ourselves, what really happened to Samuel and who was he? And that's one of my favorite themes. Who are we really when push comes to shove, each of us? And how do we navigate a path? What is survival for women emotionally, financially? How do we get through? So each woman is really, the three sisters and their mother are really put to the test. So I'm being told it's a very fast-paced book. We don't really know what happened. And so, it's a mystery. And it's all about longing.
And you're right. From the outside, for people who, don't live in that environment, they look at it and they think, well, life is perfect for them because they can shop all day. That's sort of the image that we get of people in places like Palm Beach. That, how can you be, you have a manicure and a pedicure, you have massages, you can shop all day as much as you want, and even have a tennis instructor. But
right, how could there be petitions among the sisters? How could the mother have an agenda? How could Samuel have not really been the perfect husband? What were his secrets? So this is really what it's about. And then what do we do when we're put to the test? What are the sacrifices? Who do we out? Who do we protect? So this is what happens to each of the three sisters, and all the while, what really happened to Samuel that morning.
Well, you're a fine writer, and so you really paint the picture for us. Tell us, you really bring us there. And I think that's part of the fun, why, of course, they call these summer reads that you take to the pool and you just you read. And actually, you better take suntan lotion if you take this book, because you probably won't want to stop, and you just keep turning the pages. I think that's a great compliment to writers like you who write these books that capture an audience, capture somebody's mind, and they're so enthralled with it. And it is a sort of a dream kind of world for a lot of people. They can't imagine being that rich. They can't imagine really,
And for this family, it's particularly meaningful when they're, the fodder of gossip in Palm Beach, because they actually do come from nothing. and their past is revealed as well. So how do women reinvent themselves? And, you know, what steps do we take to do that, and at what price? And so, you know, that, again, is part of the story. The mother, Lucinda, who is sort of an intriguing character, if I say so myself. So what about Lucinda? And, you know, what really happened, you know, when they didn't live in Palm Beach, and how did they get there? So, you know, on top of everything else, women are very judged, and my characters are judged. Once there's the accident and Samuel suddenly dies, then the Barrows family is really judged by everyone in town. And women are pleasers, and based on my nonfiction, women really yearn to belong and to be part of a group and to not be judged. So it's very harsh, and that also plays out in this novel. You know, what do we do once everything seems that was seemed safe is no longer safe? How do women prevail? How do they navigate a path?
Now, who were your literary influences? What authors influenced you the most?
I'm very influenced by Edith Wharton, Kate Chopin, Thomas Mann. Contemporary authors I really appreciate as well. I love to read this, you know, the summer reads of famous women authors. I'll always read Ellen Hildebrand's newest book, and I just read Hello Beautiful, and I thought that was a really interesting book by Anne Neapolitano. And I'm always reading. I was very, very lucky because my mentor and thesis advisor for my graduate degree was E.L. Doctorow. So Ed Doctorow, who wrote Ragtime and, of course, was so famous, was my teacher. And he always said to me, look, you can write fiction and nonfiction. You should do both. And so I have. But he taught me so much.
Wow. That's a great mentor.
Oh, unbelievable. Really unbelievable. And I've taught writing for for over 20 years at Marymount Manhattan College. So I've been part of, you know, the writing department, and you choose a topic the way it's structured there, and my topic was gender. So I've long been fascinated by the faces women wear versus how they really feel.
Well, you know, when this sort of title that you've been given or you take of being, what do you call yourself, a gender
I think a gender expert. Sometimes, you know, they'll say a gender expert. Just someone who has studied all these years how women are positioned in society, and men as well. You know, what are the societal scripts for us? You know, what are we told to do? What's expected behavior? What do we, you know, what do we feel we must appear as? You know, the good girl. Very interested in the role of the good girl. And again, that circles back to Maribel Shadow, because this family prided itself on being an exemplary family. But once the secrets are revealed and we figure out what really happened, you know, everything is different. But women thrive to not be judged and to appear a certain way. And it's certainly true for the sisters. And I'm fascinated by the sisters' bond. I'd written a nonfiction study years ago called Sisters Devoted or Divided. And so that's very interesting to me.
Yes, I think that plays a big part in this story, this connection of sisters and the dynamics that go into it.
What's favoritism? Why does Lucinda, the mother, play one sister against the other? And how common is that? Very common. Because I did a whole study on mothers and daughters called You're Grounded Forever, But First Let's Go Shopping. And in that study, I interviewed mothers of, you know, daughters who are 3 years old to over 30. And, you know, family systems and who the mother identifies with or embraces. You know, oh my goodness, my daughter's the cheerleader, she's the popular one, I never was. Or, oh my God, my daughter's the cheerleader, the popular one, and I was too. So how does the mother's, you know, identification with her daughters play out? And so that's a part of this novel, too. You know, how does Lucinda really feel about each daughter?
Now, does it worry you at all that, I mean, when this is sort of how can I say the marketing is geared that it's a woman's book, and men aren't going to read it. Does that bother you?
No, but I think men should read it.
I'm sort of worried about
fiction. You know, that's a big conversation. You know, what is it about fiction written about women that it becomes, you know, like it's only prescribed for women? We're only expected to read these novels if we're female. I think, you know, that there's this like gender typing and gender casting of the books we read, particularly in the summer.
Yeah.
Oh, commercial women's fiction. Oh, you know, thrillers for men. Right?
I'm sort of against this, really, because, I mean, Flaubert didn't write Madame Bovary for women. He just didn't.
Well, it's interesting. Let's just talk about that for a minute. You know, Tolstoy writing Anna Karenina and Flaubert writing Madame Bovary, and both women come to a very unhappy ending, which, of course, is the opposite of what my research yields about real women in contemporary society and affairs, which is that, you know, they end up kind of claiming what they need and want in this life. Yeah, well, maybe, well, in truth, the other affair novel of that time is by Kate Chopin, whom I mentioned a little while ago as a favorite writer and of mine. And there you go. You know, that affair in The Awakening also comes to a bad ending. So possibly, as with my gender cap on, what we're looking at is how things have changed for women. Not enough, but definitely I'm interested in women having more agency. And clearly in this novel, every one of the female characters has a voice.
Yeah, the strength comes through. But I do, as I was thinking about it, I was thinking, well, you know, maybe men should read this book too. You know,
well, I would hope so.
You know, because they'd learn something.
No question.
And that's really part of reading. And just like if there's a thriller book, I'm just as likely to read that as I would a book that is, that they're now marketing as gender specific. It's a woman's book. And I'm not sure I like that. I mean, I think women would pick it up, but who knows? A man might pick it up too and enjoy it.
I agree with you. And I think that it's really got to be more opened up, but the way that the books are marketed, it's such that we feel that, you know, this is for women to enjoy and this is for men to enjoy. And there's such a gender divide in our society anyway. We live in a very gendered culture, so, you know, gendered, you know, society. And so this just sort of feeds into it. But I believe that the suspense of this novel and the mood of this novel and the reveal of the novel would appeal, I hope, to any reader, you know, male or female.
Well, I do. There is the mystery aspect that I'm sure the guys would like just as much as we do. It's just like women are half the readers for Lee Child and Andrew Child's Jack Reacher books. You know, so they're not
right. That's a good point. I really appreciate that point. And I think for John Grisham as well. And, you know, this sort of allowance that you're allowed to read these books because even though they're women's books or men's books, I think is maybe what confuses us a little bit. But for Maribel Shadow, my publicist told me that this book is actually, I think she coined the phrase, authentic fiction. She said, because she said to me, listen, Susanna, because my nonfiction is written under my real name, right? Susan Shapiro Barish, and my novels come out under Susanna Marin. And she said, look, you know, this book is authentic fiction. It's based on your, you know, 30 years of research on how women are really feeling and what they endure and what their experiences are. You know, in the aggregate, I've interviewed thousands of women, 13 nonfiction issue books, and you know, women's issue books, and so, you know, this is reflected in the novel.
Yeah, I know. It's so funny. I remember when I first started, and I interviewed C.J. Box, and A lot of men said, well, I'm not reading CJ Box because that's some woman is using an initial, so we don't know that it's a woman. And I said, no, CJ Box, turn the book over and you'll see he's a big cowboy with a big cowboy hat. He's, you know, he's not writing women's fiction. He's writing fiction that actually women love, because in his books, CJ Box's books, the women are very strong. His women are so strong in the books. They are adventure books set in the West, but you know, everybody reads his books, and I hope that, you know, perhaps we can, you know, encourage women, when you finish this book by the pool, shove it over to a guy.
What a great idea. And I hope that, you know, women who are listening will know that I'm very interested in doing reading groups in real time, virtual time, and love speaking for any sort of women's group. But I agree that, you know, strong female characters written by a man or a woman writer are very valuable and very representative of what really goes on. We are strong.
Exactly. And I think everybody should enjoy this book, and they would. All they have to do is get it, and it's coming out. We're a few days early, right? It's
comes out June 27th.
Yeah, 27th, because I'm going to, that's why I had you on a week early, because I'm going to be out of town, and I wanted to make sure that I got you in so that I can tell people, get pre-order, because pre-ordering, by the way, people, is a nice thing to do for an author, right?
Oh, it's wonderful. You can go to Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com or ask your local bookseller. It would be great.
And then after, of course, put a review on wherever you buy the book, because that is also a nice thing to do. And I
always appreciated, yeah, by the writer. Yeah.
Exactly. I encourage you know, my listeners to do that, because now that they understand the sort of the algorithm of these online bookstores, that it really helps if they go ahead and do a review. So I'm sure that you'll get a lot of nice reviews for this book. It's very well written. The story's fascinating. The dynamics between the mother and the three daughters is definitely interesting. And I think it's very enjoyable book. So again, it's, of course, I have to say that your name is Suzanne Shapiro Barash, right? I've got it right.
And the novel is written under the name Susanna Marin.
But
Maribel Shadow.
Yeah, and they can go to your website, though, which is under your Barash name.
If you just hit either name.
And you have all your books there, and particularly people, you can check out some of her nonfiction books. She's got a ton of them. You're a busy person.
Thank you so much for having me on today.
Well, it's been fun talking to you, Susanna, Suzanne, whatever. It's always a joy to talk to you. And the name of the book is Maribel's Shadow. Sisters shouldn't be playing these games. Oh, but oh boy, they do. And people, you will enjoy this book. And again, thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today. And I'm going to be talking to Diane soon, which I will send her your regards.
Tell her, yes, that we talked the same day. How great. In fact, we're doing an event together, a virtual event in July.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic. Well,
yeah, so again, it works out really well.
Yeah, and I get to talk a lot about Palm Beach. Okay. Great talking to you. Take care.
Great talking to you. Take care.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. Now, we're going to have a book buzz. And this one is from... Well, this is going to be really nice. This is from Bria Burton. And next Tuesday, right here in the studio, Bria will be here behind the microphone, because she's going to take over the program for the day. So I'm looking forward to listening to her from an undisclosed location. But she's going to, right now we're going to play her book buzz, and then I will be back with my next guest, which is also a book set in Palm Beach.
Hello, fellow sci-fi readers. This is author Bria Burton reporting for Joy on Paper with your science fiction book buzz.
Today's communique to galaxies near and far includes a 2021 military science fiction thriller, Operation Grendel, by Daniel Schwabauer. The novel is available in print, ebook, and audiobook with stellar narration by Adam Verner. Now, let's download the book buzz. The Grendels have invaded Quelon, and it's up to Corporal Raymond Dahl, a military journalist, to expose the truth to all five Edge colonies, now in danger of being invaded by shock troops, but worse, invaded by their AI worms in the form of a forced sim collar, which would effectively turn every man, woman, and child into a Grendel. The United Colonies fleet is ready to offer the Grendels a treaty after massive losses, and the Edge colonies would be left to fend for themselves. However, when the PsyOps officer who assigned the war story exposé to Corporal Dahl gets killed on the way to the peace talks, Dahl's new mission becomes far more complex. He must now stand in as the ambassador for the peace talks himself. In other words, he has to lie in order to tell the truth. And worse, his own benign AI may have been compromised. This edge-of-your-seat military thriller, set in a distant star system, explores deep philosophical questions about the nature of truth, propaganda, artificial intelligence, and the cost of freedom. Author Daniel Schwabauer studied under science fiction great James Gunn before graduating with honors from Kansas University's master's program in creative writing in 1995.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Have you ever faced disaster? The Red Cross is always there for you. The Red Cross responds to a call for help every 8 seconds. They have never turned anyone down. Now they need your financial support so that they can be ready to help you when the need arises. Donate online at redcross.org. Thank you.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida, can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more rewarding careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to Toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z, and I am back with my next guest, Diane Bergner, and the name of her book is Royal Coconut Beach Lunch Club. Hi, Diane.
Hi, Patsy. How are you today?
Okay, fine. Well, I don't know if you managed to hear a little bit. My guest just before you was somebody that you thanked in your book, Susan Shapiro Barash.
Of course, I know Susan well.
Yes, so it was such a, it was so funny that I would have both of you on today, and I didn't know that you had thanked her until I looked at the back of your book and realized, anyway, she sends her love.
I'll call her later. Thank you, Patsy. Thanks for telling. Yeah, that's great.
She said that you've got an event together in July. So
yes,
and she had lots of nice things to say about you.
Same. And she's been just a driving force with my own writing, and I'm grateful. I call her the fairy godmother of the literary world. So.
Well, it was so nice. So I'm holding up your book. I'm also on the camera here. So I'm holding up your book nice and pink. And Royal Coconut Beach Lunch Club. Woo! That's nice.
Yes, And I know you can't see me, but I am dressed all in pink today in honor of this conversation.
So. Oh, well, I'm sure that you look beautiful. And I was just talking, you know, about for people who haven't been to Palm Beach, haven't been down there, it's a different world.
Oh, it completely is a different world. And as a fundraiser for 24 years, dealing with a certain demographic, the uber wealthy, people always say, "Oh, you must have stories to write." And I always joke around and say, "Well, you'd have to pay me $1 million not to write the stories." But the reality is, I did write a novel, and the novel is completely fiction and isn't based on anything other than shining a light on the profession of fundraising. So,
okay, well, you do shine a very, very bright light on that. Now, you know, I'm here in Clearwater, Florida. So, you know, people
okay.
think, well, when you're in Florida, you have this kind of existence. But down there in Palm Beach area, that area, it is different. Nothing quite like it up in our end of the world.
Right. And the West Coast is equally beautiful, but in very different ways. You know, the palm trees are the same, and the sun is the same, and the beaches. But the people, Palm Beach is a special place. And I've had a magnificent career. I still do, actually, at the Krava Center for the Performing Arts, raising money. And I've had, actually, the privilege of knowing some very fine people. So...
Yeah, it's
I
sort
consider
of,
myself lucky.
Well, you know, I hope that it's sort of like when Peyton Place came out, everybody in those towns was, trying to find out if they're in the book. So I'm sure you have some of your friends who are going through.
Absolutely. Yes.
And of course, you can tell us about your main character, which is, of course, it's not based 100% on you. And when we get to the Brazilian, we'll say that you don't have a Brazilian in your life, we hope.
No, and actually it's Argentinian in the novel, and yeah. I don't have an Argentinian. So.
Well, yeah, no, I'm sorry,
I have a lovely husband, and I've been married for 42 years, happily. So there you have it.
Yeah, sorry about that, Argentina.
No, that's okay.
I'm Argentinian, Brazilian. When they're that gorgeous, who cares where they come from?
Gorgeous South American gentleman, debonair billionaire, who pursues the main character,
yeah,
Julia Wilde.
You know, when they're a billionaire, you don't really care.
Oh, you were funny.
So, but let's talk about, I mean, fundraising is lovely. I think it's a wonderful, I like fundraising. Now, I've done it on a small scale, but mm-hmm. nothing at all like this. So tell us about this organization and about the whole Royal Coconut Beach social season.
Okay, well, should I talk about the character first?
Yeah, sure, let's get to know her.
Sure. Well, Julia Wilde was an attorney, and she gets this opportunity to work at the Addison Center, which is a performing arts center on the other side of the bridge from a town called Royal Coconut Beach. And she is just so excited about this new opportunity. She's never had experience. And what happens is, you know, the schedule is just brutal. She's there in the evenings, late at night. She's got to be in the office early. And a few months into the job, she is on a yacht. And the woman who owns the yacht tells her to go below the deck and please get the servers and tell them to bring up more food. Of course, she thinks, oh, boy, now, you know, she really is the help. And here she is, a smart woman, but she goes below the deck and she stumbles upon her boss, Christy, having a sordid affair with a very wealthy donor and influential, powerful man in town. Of course, it's a man. And, you know, and now she understands why Chrissy barely comes to work and gets away with everything. But Julia also thinks, what did I get myself into? Is that what I have to do to get donations? right? And, you know, other things happen. A check goes missing, and she knows she put it in her drawer. So she kind of starts to understand somebody's really trying to sabotage her, but who and why? And she doubts, you know, that she even made the right career decision. But eventually she gets hooked on the elite social circles that she gets involved in, and it becomes very alluring to just be a fundraiser, and she's getting new gifts the right way, not sleeping with somebody, and she gets addicted to her job, but she also gets drawn into the world deeper and deeper. Enter the Argentinian billionaire who pursues her, and then reality and fantasy sort of blur together, like the grass is always greener, and she thinks her own marriage, you know, is not so good.
And she's married to somebody that she met in college.
She's married to somebody you met in college who's, you know, changes his behavior too. He becomes very dismissive of her, and she gets very hurt, and she thinks he's having an affair with his, he's an attorney, with his beautiful young associate. She spies on them, and, you know, she doesn't know which end is up anyway.
Yeah, so sometimes we don't want to know, if, particularly if it involves Kama Sutra. We don't want to know which end is up.
Right. No, we don't, but she, you know, tests the waters, yeah. And it almost gives her validity to...
Yeah, there's a lot going on in this book. There's a lot going on in the dynamics of first of all, of course, of being a married woman and meeting all these people. And then, although, you know, for even, you know, sort of rich lawyers, this social life of the uber rich is different.
Completely. That, Patsy, that's so well put. That's exactly it. Here she is leading a normal professional life. Both her and her husband, you know, are earning a very lovely income. But, you know, it's always, you know, nothing. When you start measuring it against other people who she's meeting, you know, the grass is always greener, really. You know, it's just, you can't compare, and you shouldn't be comparing. So, but she gets sucked up in all that. But there's a good, up the plus side, she meets some wonderful, smart, strong-willed women who deal with the same people, and they're all professional. One, two are high-stakes matrimonial lawyers, so they handle divorces and prenups for some of the people Julia knows. And then there's Elise, who's a wealthy decorator, but, you know, works all the time as well. So they kind of give her the reality checks as only good gal pals could do, right? So there's the lunch club.
So that's the lunch club, because
that's the lunch club.
Yeah, you need an I can see going out to lunch with them. Well, what a challenge, yeah, that would be. People, you know, that kind of society, they judge you so quickly just by what you're wearing. It's, well, of course, now your part, I don't know that you're the uber part yet. Maybe you will be the uber part.
If the book sells. No, I'm kidding. You know what? Yeah. There's something to be said about being very grounded. And when you're in this social milieu, you're even more grounded, yeah, person, you know, because you, yes.
Yeah, but I mean, it is so funny. These people, and when I say these people, I mean these really uber rich people, and their kids. It's their kids sometimes surprise me. I was involved, actually, in meeting an uber rich donor for an organization that I belong to. And this uber rich person, actually, their home was shown in a film, a famous film, and No, of course, I was invited because we were arranging a luncheon to honor this very uber-rich person. And I never forget this. So I wear my best clothes to go to this uber-rich person's home.
Right.
And, you know, I thought I looked okay, you know, and my clothes were relatively, you know, they were from, I don't know, Nordstrom's, I think, and my outfit. And
I'm sure you looked absolutely lovely.
And then this, one of the boys, there's three kids, and one of the boys looked at me, and obviously my purse was okay. It was a designer purse, and it was actually a gift my son had bought me, and it was a real designer bag. So and I was really angry when he bought it, actually.
You spent all this money on me.
No, I didn't say it, but I mean, I was really, I you know, of course he got it on sale, but still. But this little kid, I mean, he was like eight or nine.
Mm-hmm.
He bent down, looked at my shoes,
mm-hmm.
and he said, "They're not real."
And oh, my goodness.
And I thought, honey, you're lucky. I, you know, I'm a kickboxer. I could have kicked you right in that jaw, you little brat.
Well, that's just terrible that they're not bringing up this child with manners anyway, but that's a whole warped sense of everything,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. But they are able to tell exactly where you bought something.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's a discerning eye. And honestly, I mean, from a personal perspective, you know, what I do for a living, I did have to change my wardrobe, make it a little more zippy, because you do want to, I don't want to say fit in, I don't mean fit in, but as a professional, you want to play the professional role, and you're not going to not look great in front of people who are judgmental, and they're not going to want to get to know you. And quite frankly, fundraising is a relationship-driven business. So they're not going to want to deal with a slob. Not that I was ever a slob,
but I'm talking about elevating a little bit.
They
do. They know exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because many of them do actually come from poor backgrounds when they start off in life. But then when they get rich, they have this... some magic dust is sprinkled over them that they can then tell you exactly how much you paid for a t-shirt. So
right, the pixie dust effect. That's what I call it. So it's funny you use that term of art, but yes, exactly. So, but that's all just stuff anyway. That's all material things, and that really is, you know, one of the themes of the book is morals and integrity and you know, those kinds of concepts and ideas, and how does Julia, you know, come to terms with all that, and what are her own true morals and values? Because, like you said, her husband and her make a nice living, but they're not those people.
Yeah.
So
it's you have to navigate yourself, as you said. You have to just be able to fit in enough so that you can navigate around them and get their trust and get their, because you in the end, actually, you want to get their money. So
right. But it goes a lot deeper. It's not just transactional, honestly, in real life. It's not just about getting the money. It's wanting them to care about enough to make an impact. And that's real not-for-profit, you know, world, and make an impact to the community, to the organization, as you know from your fundraising experience. So,
well, it's going to be fun now for you when you're out raising money. Now the people, these people are going to say, "Oh, can we have your autograph?" Which
I actually, yes, and you know, I'm because I still work at the Kravis Center and love what I do. I had a couple of board members read my book. They loved it, by the way. And people are guessing who's who, and it really is not anybody in the story. I actually had a boss who was terrific. You know, nobody was with one of the donors. All of it is made up, and that's the beauty of writing fiction.
Yeah.
You write about something you know, but then you get creative license to do whatever you want and make it fictional and just dream up stories. I mean, there's one bad character who's modeled after nobody, and I didn't like him as I was writing, and I was going to get rid of him, and instead of getting rid of him, I made him even a worse villain. So that's the fun of the writing. So, you know, the premise is real. I mean, it is a wealthy town called Royal Coconut Beach, and yes, it is, the premise is Palm Beach, as you said in your introduction, but it's all an imaginary world that happens there.
Exactly.
If that makes sense.
Exactly. And then when they pick it up and make a film out of it, then you'll be get your own yacht.
Well, from your mouth to God's ears, but I'm very happy not having a yacht. You know what? This is a sidebar, but as I get older, less is more. Don't you believe that? I do.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But so.
I think it's having this joy of writing that makes everything so wonderful. Because once you start writing, and this is your first book, right?
Yes, it's my first novel.
My goodness, my goodness. So you've got the talent, and as we say, you got the chops for it, and you really carry it off very well, tell a wonderful story, and then well, you know, it's always nice. Nowadays, of course, they don't do that, what they used to do, put hunky guys on the covers to sell books to women. I guess it's enough that I think that we're not allowed to do that anymore.
Probably not. I mean, the pink with the little white palm tree.
Yeah, the pink with the white palm trees shows an elegance, unlike if we had... If we had the Argentinian without his shirt on.
Right.
They could put that in the middle of the book. They could put it
on his horse named Conquistador.
Oh,
don't forget that.
Oh, my God. Oh. You know, they really maybe should have thought of putting, you know, right in the center. Because as you're sitting by the pool, you might want to see the image of him.
Fantasy is wonderful.
The name of the book is Royal Coconut Beach Lunch Club, and it's by Diane Bergner. And Diane, you have a website?
I do have a website. I am just starting to fill it, but it's my name, dianebergner.com. And the book is also available on Amazon and other online retailers. And if anybody happens to be in Palm Beach, it's also available at the Classic Bookshop. I always support the local independents. So.
Okay, that's perfect. Well, it was fun talking to you. I know you'll be back because I'm sure you're writing a second book already.
I certainly am. Get ready.
I know. Once you find the joy, you can't stop. Anyway.
And I love, by the way, the title, Joy on Paper. Love it.
Because it is a joy for the writer to put something on paper, and then it's a joy for the reader to read that paper, and they'll have lots of fun reading your book and imagining.
Well,
okay.
Thank you so much, Patsy, and have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye now.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. So, two books, both set in Palm Beach area. Really great. And I want to remember to tell you about 100 Days Till Tomorrow. The author was on last week, L.S. Case. Her book wasn't out yet, but it came out today. And it is a lovely and a very sweet romance. And it's called 100 Days Till Tomorrow. And it's about a girl who inherits a house. Well, we don't know if she's going to be able to keep it because her grandmother has set a rule that she has to live there for 100 days. And I think the story of Miranda Blair is fascinating, and I hope that you will get that book because it's what would you do if somebody gave you a house and they said you have to live there for 100 days? Do you think you could survive it? Well, we have to find out what's wrong with the house in the first place. And it's called 100 Days Till Tomorrow, and it's by L.S. Case, and it released today. So do get that book. I think you will enjoy that. And that's a sweet romance and a very... I love books where you get a house and you have to do something with it, either survive it in, you know, because of something that's happened in the house or because it's falling apart and you get to repair it. But whatever, it's a good book. I hope you'll get that. And very well written, too. It's also her first book and a really good book. And that's called 100 Days Till Tomorrow. And meanwhile, I want to tell people, go to my Facebook page, which I think you will enjoy. And it's Radio Joy on Paper. And I have a lot of videos up there. I did one for Flag Day, which was very nice. I think that a lot of people didn't do anything for Flag Day. I didn't see very much on television honoring Flag Day, but it is something that I wanted to make sure that I did a video just to remind people of the importance of Flag Day and how much, particularly how much the U.S. Marines mean to me. I always think of the U.S. Marines when I think of American flags, because when I left for Europe, my father, one of the things my father said to me, well, he said gave me three pieces of advice, but one of them was, if you're ever in trouble, run for an American flag. And he was right, and several times I found myself in the middle of some kind of revolution or uprising, and particularly one time in Ankara, Turkey, I was right between, exactly between. I was in a square. And on one side of the square, one group of people were coming. On the other side of the square, another group of people were coming. And they intended to kill each other. And here I am, in Turkey, a little blonde girl carrying a very small backpack. And, I mean, they were going to somehow get me. So I started running, and I ran, and I ran through streets, really crooked streets. Oh, it was a mess, but I had, at one point, I had seen an American flag, and I ran and ran and ran until I got there. And as I got there, and I got near, I saw the American flag, and there was a U.S. Marine, and technically, he was not allowed to come off of the property to save me. But he did, and he didn't care, and he saved my life. So for me, the American flag is something that when I see it, I'm always proud and very happy. Okay, everybody, remember what I always tell you. One of the joys of life is to see your words on paper or to hear them spoken on an audible book. And if you're very, very lucky, to hear those magic words, lights, camera, action, and your book will be turned into a major motion picture, streaming video, or perhaps a series on the Hallmark Channel. You never know, and you won't know unless you start writing. So start writing. See, both of these women today started writing. And boy, oh boy, they've got really nice books. Anyway, say something nice to somebody today. I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Thank you, Ed, for everything. We managed to get through it, even though I got them vice versa. Okay, everybody. And a special hello to Carol J. Perry. My sister is going crazy. She wants another Carol J. Perry book because she started them back. She went back to Witch City Mysteries and started reading them a while back. She's rereading them. So everybody, get a Carol J. Perry book. Bye-bye now.